Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Watchman on the Wall End Time Ministry. This is Elder G. E. Bazard coming from downtown Bristol, Virginia, at the Household of Faith. And then I'm going to go on down in Atlanta, Georgia, down there where Brother Oliver, Derek Oliver is the co-host. And then I'm going to pull on over there in Texas. And I got Tim Jackson, Dr. Tim Jackson, gospel preacher, preaching the word of God. And you have Bazard here, amen, telling you about what's getting ready to happen in these last and evil days. We're going to try to break it down for you, let you know that the time of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's return is closer than the human race thinks it is. A lot of people just loping around, not even thinking what's going on all over the world, in every crack, in every corner. Men are confused, don't know what to do. Men are trying to find other ways to avoid the grace of God and to avoid the mercy of God and to avoid the cross. Men are doing motivation speeches and doing this and doing that and taking collection up, storing the money up for themselves, trying to buy everything up. But let me tell you, it's a waste of time. Amen. It's a waste of time. I'm so glad to have Brother Jackson with me. Amen. Before we get on to the word, we want the Lord to come on in here and stand in the gap for us, amen, because without him, we can't do nothing. We can't preach the word of God unless we have the Holy Ghost. Oh, my God, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about this Holy Ghost some folks talking about they got, amen, they ain't got no power. They still talking about foolish stuff, trying to do motivation speeches, trying to get people's ego up. Amen. Jesus Christ, amen, is the only thing, the only name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. You can't be saved by works. You can't be saved by looks. You can't be saved by your education. You can't be saved by your mama, your daddy, your sister, your aunt, and your aunt, uncle. Amen. You got to come to the cross. Amen. And that's what we are exploring. That's what we are lifting up. We're lifting up the name of Jesus Christ because he is the one and the only God-man that ever, amen, God himself came down from heaven. You hear what I'm saying? He came down from heaven. And now you know something. Woo, I want to get started. But, you know, he come to a junkyard. Amen. He come down here to a junkyard. Because a sinner, amen, is a bunch of junk. Amen. I used to be a bunch of junk in the stockpile. Amen. Getting ready to be cast into the lake of fire, and the junk man came along. Woo! Now, I know what you're saying. It's not right to call Jesus a junk man, but let me tell you. Woo! But he's a good junk man. He's a good junk man. You know what he did? He died on Calvary, on cross, to redeem, amen, my soul from sin, and now I'm not no piece of junk no more. Woo! I'm made in the image and the likeness of God, and he has saved me from my sin, and now at any moment, in the hour, in the day, in the year, the church is getting ready to be raptured up, and I'm going to be caught in that number. No, not by the name of my denomination. You know, I come from the Baptist, but I wasn't born a Baptist. I was born a sinner. A denomination, nothing but a name. Jesus Christ, amen, is not going by name. He's going by your faith that you have in him to receive his son, Jesus Christ, amen, by his blood to be born again. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be in this life and to be in this part of the age that we're going to talk about. And we're going to get into, amen, the word right now. I'm going to pray. Amen. I want Brother Tim Jackson to come on in here. Amen, and set your soul on fire. Let you know we're more accurate than the newsman. We're better than NBC. We're better than ABC.
Right.
Why? Because we're going to give you exactly what the word of God said. And God don't make mistakes. Amen. We get our information from heaven. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we go into prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this evening thanking you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, your goodness, and all that you are doing for us. And, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that we can sit here and study your word of God and read your word of God and explain your word of God and profound your word of God, that men, women, boys, and girls may prepare themselves to meet you very soon. Amen. We thank you for Brother Tim Jackson down there in Texas. We thank you for Brother Oliver. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Bazaar. Amen. We have a desire to do one thing, and that is win souls to Christ before it's everlasting too late. We want to win souls before Christ comes for the church, because after the church, the tribulation, we realize, is going to fall up on the earth. We just ask you right now, as we go into the word, that we'll rightly divide the word of truth, that we don't have to be ashamed, that we don't have to be embarrassed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Go for it, Brother Tim. It's all yours.
Amen, brother. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Giving glory to Yahweh, amen. We acknowledge the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. We thank the Father for this opportunity, amen. We thank him for sending his Son, Yeshua, to be obedient to his will, to redeem man, amen. God made a promise to Adam back in the garden, amen, that he would redeem man. He would give man a second chance because of what Adam had done, amen.
Come on.
We thank him for that opportunity. We are praying for you all. Amen. We are praying for the world that they take advantage of this opportunity. Amen. The brother said you have a six-window grace period. Amen. Which we believe that Christ will come back to get the church. Right now is your opportunity to, number one, receive salvation, which is why this first portion of the show, I'm going to focus on salvation. I must focus on salvation, because that is the key. That is how you escape the great tribulation. That is how you escape hell, and that is how you escape the lake of fire. Amen. Talking to someone today, amen, saying silly things, amen, talking about they don't really believe in that, amen. And so, amen, we just have to continue to pray for people and to love on people, because people will say things. And, you know, it's like they don't really know what they're saying. Amen. Satan has the world blind. And it's our job to, amen, shine the light, to show people who Christ is, to show people who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is. We want nothing more than for your soul to be saved and for your soul not to be lost. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got some things that I want to go over, but I'll just kind of interject those things within the teaching today. Just feel led by the Spirit to just really just talk to the world, just to talk to people on the ground level. Amen. Amen. There is only one way, amen, to God. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to eternal life. Hear what I'm saying. And the reason why I'm saying that, because I saw this video the other day. They had this celebrity. I'm not going to even say the celebrity's name. Amen. They had this celebrity. And he was, you know, he was talking to someone of the Muslim religion. And he was saying to them, he don't believe that God has made one way to him. He means that he believes that there are different ways that you can come to God, that you can make to heaven. I said, Lord, have mercy. So as you can see, the agenda for this world, one world church, has already begun. They have people. And what's so crazy about it is people will listen to this nonsense. Instead of them listening to the word, instead of them studying the Bible, you got people who actually believe that nonsense. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to Yahweh, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches that thoroughly. Amen. There's only one way. And that's Romans, the 10th chapter. Let me get my Bible. Because every time I read this, amen,
yes,
I like to read from my Bible. Amen. Even though sometimes I can quote scripture.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Sometimes I can't quote them as well as I used to, amen, because I've learned so many scriptures over the years, but I always like to read the word, amen. Amen. So let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. verses 9 and 10. I have to share this with you at the very beginning of the show because we want all that is listening to receive salvation. So therefore, you can understand, amen, this message that we're giving because the word is written to those who believe. Amen. So you have to be a believer to understand the word. Amen. But it doesn't take a believer to receive salvation. In other words, as the brother said, we are born in sin. Amen. We are born in sin. I am born a sinner. Amen. I didn't wake up one day with this knowledge. I had to acquire this knowledge. Amen. Elder Mazzola had to acquire his knowledge over the years. The Holy Spirit, God, amen, as he said, will impart the wisdom to you. Amen. You must believe. Amen. You have to ask. Amen. If you ask, he said that he will give it to you freely.
Yes.
Amen. So you can have the same knowledge and more. Amen. No matter how long you've been saved, God can bless you with this knowledge. Amen. So let's go to Romans 10 chapter, verses 9 and 10. Let's read what it says. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, amen, Yahshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that God, Yahweh, hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen.
Yes,
so we want to make this clear, precise, and straight to the point. Amen. The Bible does not leave any gray areas. Amen.
Amen.
There is no gray area with God. There is no other way to the kingdom. There is no other way to salvation and everlasting life and eternal life. There's only one way to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Christ said it. You must come to him by the blood of Christ. That is the only way that you can become saved. You can't become saved by these other religions. This is the trick of Satan. This is the trick of the devil to make you believe that you can go through all these other religions to become saved. I remember a point in time where all these other religions did not include love. Amen. But I noticed that here in the last 10 years, they've been preaching that strong. Oh, we love too. No, you don't. You don't. Amen. And I've been preaching love hand in hand with salvation for many years, and now I'm beginning to hear the language of other religions saying, "Oh we love to." No, read their book, read their context, read what they believe, and you'll find out that it has nothing to do with love. Amen.
Come on. Come on.
So I have to share that with you and make some clarification. Now, Romans 10th chapter, verse 9, is a very powerful key verse.
It is the key
to the kingdom. It simplifies salvation on a level us as man cannot comprehend. Why? Because the way the world was structured from the beginning, when Adam messed up in the garden, amen, because it was Adam's responsibility, when he gave over basically power and authority and rulership over this world to Satan, Satan began right away. He had plans for this world before Adam fall because he had to have known or felt like he was going to be successful in tricking Adam. Amen? He couldn't get to Adam directly. So what did he do? Amen. The devil will use your weakest thing.
Come on.
And what was Adam's weakness? His wife. It was his weakness. Why was Eve Adam's weakness? We know it before Eve was even created because what did Adam say? Adam, he was sad. He was by himself. And God said it's not good for man to be alone. So he created Adam a what? A helpmeet. That was one weakness. Is that he wanted companionship. That is human nature for us to have companionship. God said, the scripture said, it is not good for us to be alone. It is not. It's okay to be by yourself sometimes. Amen. I enjoy being by myself sometimes, but I love being around my wife and children. Amen. So I can't live without them. Amen. It's a blessing to have family, loved ones. Amen. That's why some people even get them a pet. Amen, because it's not good to be alone. Amen. So the point that I'm making is that Satan understood that if he can trick Adam, amen, and make man fall, he can create his own world. And this is what Satan has been doing for 6,000 years. He has made a complicated world. That's why things are a challenge. That's why things are complicated. This is why the Bible tells us, for one, not to love the world, amen, and not to focus on things that are temporal, amen, but set our sights on things, what? Eternal, amen.
That's what
the scripture says. That is what God wants us to do, amen. Now, back to salvation. I have to include that in this message of salvation. Amen. Because why? I want you to understand the simplicity of God. When God put Adam on the earth, he gave Adam specific instructions. And none of those instructions, according to what I've read, the work that God gave Adam seemed to be a joyous work. In other words, it was something that Adam would have enjoyed doing. Amen. He was supposed to, one, name the animals, subdue the earth, rule, amen, and to multiply the earth. That sounds pretty simple to me, amen. That sounds more simple than any job that I've ever worked on, amen. And that's how God is. We want to make sure that you understand Bible scripture, not something that someone's made up emotionally in their office or anything like that. We want you to understand that God is simple, amen. Satan is complicated, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to complicate things. But God said, Adam, my instruction to you is to see these trees. Amen.
Amen.
All the other trees of the garden you may eat of, but these two trees I don't want you to touch. Sounds pretty simple to me. Amen. I don't know about
Amen.
You. It sounds like a pretty It's simple instruction. Amen. Amen. It's from what I can tell. So I want to go over to Genesis, the third chapter, and I want to show something. Amen. I'm going to show you something, read something real quick. Amen.
Amen, brother. Take your time.
Genesis, the third. Amen. Thank you, doctor. Genesis, the third chapter, verse 1. Let's just start that. This is the third chapter, verse 1. Says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord Yahweh had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Yahweh said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Amen. So,
come on.
Amen. So what Eve was in a world, amen, that you won't die immediately. But she was aware that you would die. And so she believed that, hey, if I touch this tree or eat of this tree, I would die. Probably instantly, she probably thought I would cease to exist. Amen. So that was fearful enough for man, for Adam and Eve not to touch it. And they want to what? Obey God. Amen. Their creator.
Come on.
But watch the devil. See, the devil, he said, watch what he said. He said in verse 4, it said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. See the trick of the devil? Amen. Devil always got some up his sleeve. You won't surely die. For Yahweh do know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be what?
Open.
And you shall be as gods, small g, gods, knowing good and evil. Amen. I'm going to stop right there, because we already know the story. Amen. The two trees in the garden. Amen. So God's instructions to us, it's always simple. Now you want to know who's complicated? God is far more complicated than any being in existence. Satan's complications cannot equal or match God's. But see, God said it's not your place or your job. It's not the angel's job or man's job to be complicated. God said that's my place because I am what? Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God said it is my job. See, when you can't comprehend that he is as far in the past, ancient, as he is in the future, amen. He has always been. Man, I don't know about you, doctor, but I've been saved for almost 22 years now, and I still can't wrap my mind around the existence of God. Because you know what man want to ask?
I know what you mean.
Amen, doctor. Amen. They want to know, well, where does God come from? Again. Amen. Again, watch this. They want to know where God come from. Amen. God is so complicated that he has no creator. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen.
Yeah.
I remember studying when I first got saved many years ago, probably about 19 to 20 years ago when I first got saved. I was studying one day, and I was trying to wrap my mind around Genesis, the first chapter. I said, man, God is surely the Alpha and Omega. He is surely the God of who he say he is, because you want to know why?
Come on. It just
came to my mind, doctor, when I first got saved. I said, I never thought about this ever in my life. But I said, you know what? Where did God come from? And why doesn't he have a creator? Amen.
Come on.
I got a
come
creator.
On.
Why don't he have a creator? And brother, when I said that, the Holy Spirit instantly answered my question.
Come on.
The Holy Spirit said, well, Tim, if God had a creator, that means that the creator that created God had to have
one.
Amen. He had to have a creator. And the creator that created the God, amen, that created us, had to have a creator.
Come on,
and the God that created the God that created the God that created us had to have a creator. Say, man, it came to me just as plain as day. The Holy Spirit said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And before me, there is none. And nor shall there ever be one after me. So what he is saying is that I have always existed. I am the beginning. In other words, I am that one that has created all things. God has always existed. And in our feeble minds, we cannot wrap our minds around God's infinity, his infinity power, his infinity existence. We cannot. We are not meant to understand and comprehend that. That is far knowledge, far beyond our comprehension. So when I say, you think Satan is coming, Satan ain't got nothing on God.
Nothing.
God is all. He has the keys, amen, to death and hell. And he says, I am Alpha and Omega. So God is the only true God. Amen. That explains it within itself. Amen. There is no God before him. He has always existed. Amen. And a lot of times it's hard for us to wrap our mind. But see, that's for people who are not saved, amen, to try to continue to say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, that's because you have no salvation. That's because you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, and you can't come to the terms that God is not in the box. You cannot box God. God is far more powerful than what you can even imagine. And I am so grateful to say that I am saved with salvation today, and I am a part of his kingdom. Bro, I got a few more minutes left. I'm going to turn over to you in a few minutes. Amen. Amen. But I want to get this thing started on salvation. I'm going to come back and talk about salvation some more, because I want the church to understand that salvation is so simple. It's so easy. It's Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Now, Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 10, watch what it says. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto
salvation.
You are born once. If you're born once and you don't get saved, you will die twice. You'll die the natural death and the spiritual death.
Come on,
but if you're born, amen, twice, meaning that you're born of your mother's womb, and you're born again of the Spirit, which is, you can see the analogy of that, which is why Nicodemus came to Christ, and Christ gave that brilliant explanation of how salvation works. Man can only come through his mother's womb. How many times?
One time.
It is not possible for you to be born twice. So when you once you're saved, this is why we say once saved, always saved. Because once you become saved, there is no going back and getting saved. It's impossible that once that baby comes through the canal of that mother's womb, once he comes through that birth canal, there is nothing. Nothing. God creates. See, like I said, God in his infinite, another example of God in his powerful wisdom, did not make it possible for a child to crawl back into his mother's womb. The doctor can put you back in your mother's womb. There's no power on earth, amen, that can do that,
bro.
You cannot do it. The doctor can't do it. No man on earth put a baby back into the mother's womb without seriously injuring that baby in the mother. And it's just impossible. It just cannot be done. Because it's impossible, doctor. That's right. Amen. Once that baby is born, that womb closes back up. It's impossible. Amen. That is a miracle within itself. I have been blessed and fortunate to watch all my children be born. And I tell you right now, doctor, I still can't wrap my mind around how
you can.
Man, I was looking at that. I said, boy, thank God I'm a man. And men, mercy on the women, and great applause to women who give birth. It don't matter how you give it, but we are grateful for what you do as mothers. Amen. But, man, that is such a miracle for a woman. And my wife was blessed and fortunate. Amen. I know not all women are. Amen, and it's nothing to take away from those mothers that don't, but my wife was blessed to have all her kids natural. Amen, but I tell you right now, doctor, that is a work of God.
Yes, it is.
There is,
yes,
man, I tell you, when I saw them babies come out, I was like, man, look, I remember when I first saw it. You should have saw it, man. I was like a kid standing there. I was like, what in the world? I didn't know what to do with myself. Amen, because that was such a miracle. No, you hear about stuff like that, but I had never seen it. And to see the woman go through so much to produce, amen, you and her seed together to bring forth life is a beautiful thing.
Yes,
and this is why
we
got to continue to preach this message that once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're born, you're born. That's it. You don't have to go back and get reborn again. There's no such thing. You're born. Amen. So once you're born of the Spirit, that's why Nicodemus and Christ had that discussion. And that was placed over in the Bible so that we could understand how salvation works. And it just, brother, when I tell you, I don't understand how pastors preach against that and they can't understand that when the Bible is so simple and it states that. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to come back and deal with this salvation thing some more.
Come on.
And then after that, we're going to get into some of the things that are going on. I got a notification that they are mobilizing military weapons in the United States. This comes from a person who was ex-military. Amen. This is just knowledge that I get. Amen. That they are mobilizing tanks. Military equipment. America and this world, y'all better get ready. Amen. Y'all better get ready. Amen. Get your soul right. Because if you think World War III ain't coming, like I've been saying for years, they don't have nuclear war and all this weaponry for nothing. It's about to go down, and the only way you can escape the evils that's about to hit this planet is through salvation, through our Lord and Savior, Yahshua. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Brother, go ahead. I'm going to come back.
God bless you, Brother Jackson. You done got me heated up. Amen. Like I always say, I'm in the kitchen now. Amen. And the pots are on the stove. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I got Ezekiel on. I got Jeremiah on. I got Isaiah on, and let me tell you, they're boiling. I tell you why they're boiling, because everything that they said 2,600 years ago is being fulfilled today, right on time. Ain't nobody going to change this. Ain't nobody going to reverse this. What God's word said through his prophet is going to happen as sure as you are born. Amen. And we always saying God is on time. God is a time God. Well, let me tell you something. You're saying the right thing, because God is never late. Amen. He can't be late. And since you mentioned, amen, the big question that we can't wrap around our finite mind, the big question around a lot of sinners and a lot of hypocrites and a lot of agnostics, they want to know who made God, who made God. Well, let me tell you something. You ain't got the sense enough to know, amen, before anything was, God existed before you was even thought of. Amen. You come from a sperm. You come from an egg. And if that sperm wouldn't have entered into that egg, you never would have been born. But you are born because God designed it that way. Who is the greatest designer of birth? Amen. God Almighty is the greatest designer for birth. And he gave that to man and woman to do what? Replenish the earth so that he can bring forth children, and that you raise the children, that the children may come in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the job of the family. That's what a family is for God to use the man and the woman. Wait a minute, let me back up, because the world today is messed up from flowing.
Right.
Amen. They want to take the man now, and men marrying men, and men raising children, and the two males raising a child, and you got the lesbians, and you got the incest, and you got the sodomites, and they're trying to take it out the word of God, because God said it's already done. It's an abomination. You can't change it. The government can't change it. The preachers can't change it. The popes can't change it. The can't change it. It ain't going to change. Ain't no time to compromise with it. God has already ordained it, and yet still folks still want to tell God, you shouldn't have put that in there. But what I want to get to you now, before God was, there was nothing but God.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
God was all by himself before anything was created, before the stars, before anything was spoken into existence, God existed. How do I know there's a God? I know there's a God because of one attribute that God has, and that attribute is love.
Hey, come on, Doctor.
Love shows you that God existed. When you don't see love, God is not there. And since God is not there, if love didn't exist, there wouldn't be no God. And by the way, God came from nowhere. If you want to know where he came from, he came from nowhere. How do you know, preacher? I know, because God is everywhere. And since he's everywhere, there's nowhere for him to come.
Amen.
He exists self-existent. He is the almighty of the almighty God. Woo! But you know what happened? Let me run this down to you. God said, I'm going to decide to create angelic beings. I'm going to create angels. I'm going to create cherubims. I'm going to create teraphim. I'm going to create archangels. I'm going to do what? I'm going to speak them. Now, listen to me. Speaking to nothing. Speaking to nothing. And guess what? Nothing had the answer.
That's right.
Oh, can you bargain that in your mind? God speaking to nothing, and nothing had the answer. And when he answered, he said, nothing said, I'm nothing. What you can do with me? And God spoke every angelic angel into existence at one time. All of them appeared. That's before I was thought of. That was before anything was thought of. That was in the eons of the ion. That was beyond any time zone that you can think of. And when God spoke to angels, he spoke one number one angel, Lucifer, Lucifer, son of the morning, a gorgeous angel. Oh, come on now. Listen to what I got to say. A gorgeous angel, a immaculate. Ooh, that angel was so beautiful. He was so unique because God spoke it into existence out of nothing, and he came forth. And when he came forth, he was the most beautiful cherubim that God ever created. There ain't nobody above Satan. Ain't nobody above Satan but God Almighty. Lucifer was created, he was created with what? He was not created with a blood system. He was created as a ministering angel. He had no blood system. He had no heart. He had nothing. He was a cherubim spoken into existence. And God gave him the most beautiful look. And if you want to get some more information on it, which I won't be able to read the scriptures for you, but you want to look into the book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, I'm just going to make a little rundown on it, how he looked in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel describes this year unique, immaculate cherubim. He had every jewel upon him. He had every diamond on him. He had every precious stone that you can even imagine. And God gave him what? He gave him the jurisdiction of being a music box. Oh, y'all don't hear me? You got to read the Bible. He was a music man. He could play the piano and make all the pianos, the worldly piano players look like us. Where y'all learn that at? Man, he could walk up and down the corridors of heaven, and music would come out of him. He could look at the angels and give them a note, and guess what? Them angels would do what? They would praise God. They would praise God. They would lift up the name of Yahweh. They would praise him, and Lucifer had the jurisdiction to give them the music and the note. And he had some notes there, amen, ain't even on the piano board. You're talking about a cymbal. You're talking about a saxophone. You're talking about a cornet. He had all that built into him. And when he was built into him, he gave it to the angels to praise God. And he was the protector and the guardian of God's throne. That's what God gave him. He gave that position to him. And when Lucifer began to wonder and he began to go up at the corridors of heaven and look at all that God had made, because let me tell you, Lucifer was not before God. No. Lucifer was not before God. Lucifer came into existence by God. And since when he came into existence by God creating him, that gave him direct power from God to take his place and what? To take care of the protection of his throne and to take care of the music realm and take care of the angels' choir. Now, it's far beyond my mind to wrap around how many angels that God created. It's beyond my comprehension. It's beyond my little pea brain. 3.5 pounds to comprehend the number of angels that God created all at once, including Lucifer. And when Lucifer had charge over the angels, he was the main man. And guess what happened one day? One day, Lucifer looked in the mirror of reflection and saw himself, looked at himself. Walked around heaven. All the angels were subject to him as far as what God gave Lucifer to tell the angels. And Lucifer, man, you talking about, let me go here. Let me go for it. You can take all the beautiful women of the world from the time Adam and Eve was created until 2022 and put all those women together. It would not come out not compare to the beauty that Lucifer had.
Woo!
He looked in the mirror of reflection and saw himself, and pride began to fill in, because when he looked at himself, he believed that he was so beautiful and so gorgeous and so unique that he had the right to dethrone God. Oh, let me take my time here. He had the audacity to tell God Almighty, Yahweh, Elohim, that I am the beginning and the Alpha, the Omega. Look, and I know he began to kind of get kind of slandered. He said, look, look, Turkey, you think you something. You look how, you see how I look. I'm so beautiful. I believe that I can take the throne from you and take control of the universe and take control of all the angels. And guess what? I'm going to plan to dethrone you. And he went around in heaven and began to be a tail barrier. Uh-oh. I wonder where did that, where all these tail barriers come from today. Amen. We got church folks ain't nothing but tail barriers. Woo! We got preachers ain't nothing but tail barriers. We got folks running around telling tales on somebody else. Woo! And old Lucifer said, you got to come down out of here. You got to come on down. And God looked at it and looked at it and said, nah, you ain't going to do this. You ain't going to do this. You're going to mess up all your position. You're going to mess up everything. But Lucifer was so proud and so self-righteous and so determined that he was going to dethrone God Almighty. And he went around heaven and told one-third of the angels in heaven, come on with me, dude. Come on with me, man. We can overthrow this thing. We can take all this year gorgeous diamonds and silver and gold. Oh, man, come on. He deceived one-third of the in heaven. In heaven. The first war that was ever spoken of way before my time was in heaven. The devil fighting and rebelling against God Almighty. And guess what God did? He kicked him out. He kicked him out for eternity. He kicked him out.
Right. Till
he said, I got to prepare a place for you, Jesus. Jesus said this. He said that the hell was not prepared for mankind. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. So hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not mankind. God didn't make hell for mankind. Man ain't got no business going to hell because it wasn't prepared for him. But guess what? As a brother said earlier, Adam and Eve got in the garden. And after God had created the heaven and earth, guess what? In the second chapter, in the second verse of First Genesis, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was up on the face of the waters. And there was a total chaos. What happened there between the first and second verse? The second verse, there was a fall from heaven, and that fall was Lucifer. He fell, and he destroyed the heaven and the earth that God created in the beginning, because when God created the heaven and earth in the beginning, he spoke it into existence, and there it was. Satan fell from heaven, and he was mad as hell. He was mad. He said, I'm going to get you, sucker. I'm going to get you, sucker. You wait. You wait. If you try to do anything else here on this earth, I'm going to make sure that I prevent you from doing it. But God didn't say nothing. Amen. He let him, he cast it down there. And after that, he recreated the heaven and earth. And it took him 6 days to do it. That 6 days, amen, represents 6,000 years of human history that man has been on the earth. And since he's been on the earth, guess what? The devil said, I'm going to make a hell out of earth. I'm going to rip it apart. I'm going to tear up whatever you put down here. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And when he put them in there, he said, don't touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. You're going to die a spiritual death. You're going to be cut off from God. That's what happened, and that's what Satan did. He cut man off from God. He caused man to rebel against God the same way he rebelled against heaven, because Adam and Eve knew better. Adam and Eve knew exactly what would happen if he would eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then he went to the woman, the weaker vessel, and he deceived the woman, because the woman is the weaker vessel. Amen. Look at here what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you she's the weaker vessel, and he told her, look at here, girl. Look at here, baby doll. Look, don't you believe God? Don't you believe that turkey? I'm using slang language to let you know how Satan feels about God. He hates it. He denies it. He don't want nobody to know him. He don't want you to know Jesus Christ. The world, the devil got the world today. Don't think about no Jesus Christ. He didn't really die. He didn't really suffer. If he can keep you away from the cross, if he can keep you away from repentance, if he can keep you away from the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if he can tell you and get you to deny that, guess what?
That's right.
You will die and go to hell, because there has to be an atonement for the sins of man. Got to be atonement for the sins of man. You can go to church until your face look like the front door of the church and still go to hell, because some folks are going to hell through the church, out the side door, at the back door, and the front door. Why? Because they have a form of godliness, but they haven't met the Jesus Christ that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Christ that had no beginning and had no end. Guess what happened? Oh, Adam took the woman, and the woman ate the fruit, and she played a baby doll with him. She put some put the whammy on him. Oh, come on, y'all women. You know what I'm talking about. Put the whammy on it. Oh, baby doll. Oh, you know, this is not really happening. Come on, take a little taste, just a little taste. I know what the God said. He said, "Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Don't touch it. The day you eat it, you'll die." But he had nothing happen. Ain't nothing happened. She ate it, and nothing happened. The reason why? Because the man is the head of the home. The man
That's
is
right.
the head of creation. God gave man to be the head, and now the man is coming to tail, and the woman is becoming the head. The woman is taking over. God didn't intend that. A lot of people say, well, I need to be loose. I need to go my way. I'm going to do my own thing. But God didn't intend that. That's Satan. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to break up your home. He wants to tear up the marriage vow. He wants to decommunicate everything he has. And so what happened? When Adam ate it, guess what? Their eyes were open. And they knew they were naked. When they knew they were naked, they tried to hide themselves. Why?
That's
because
right.
when you sin, you will always try to hide your sin. You always
That's
try
right.
to deny your sin. You will lie about your sin. You will tell somebody, I ain't did nothing that bad. I'll be all right. And guess what they try to do? They try to take the fig leaf off of the tree and strip the trees of the fig leaves to put around them to hold themselves together so they won't see their nakedness. But the fig leaves couldn't hold. They would shrivel up, and they would fall off, and they still would be naked. And a lot of people say, what did that represent? The fig leaves in the spiritual realm represent false religions of the world today that is trying to cover up their sin and cover up their debauchery and cover up their abomination by having different kinds of false gods and religions and all kinds of dialect and all kinds of entities. And all this comes from Satan, because Satan has his own religious realm. And
That's
I'm
right.
talking about 3,000 different kinds of religions to try to say, we're going to try to reach God. We're going to reach another God. We ain't talking about the God of the Bible. We're talking about the God that they make up themselves. And guess what? Woo, hallelujah. Praise God Almighty, from whom all blessings flow. They could not dress themselves. They could not cover their sin. They could not wash away their sin. They could not forget their sin. They could not cleanse themselves of their sin. And so what God had to do, God stepped in the garden. He stepped in the garden and said, Eve, Adam, I'm going to have a sacrifice right here. And if you read in the third chapter of Genesis, God had to bow down on his knees and go get one of those animals that he created. He had to go get a lamb. And I'm saying in the spirit of my mind, he had to get two lambs and skin that lamb. And he had to kill the lamb. And when he killed that lamb, guess what appeared? Blood. Blood appeared. In order for them to be covered, they had to have a blood sacrifice. And that sacrifice was a ewe lamb. And they tell me God, with his almighty power, he stretched out that skin and wrapped it around Adam and wrapped it around Eve. And they wore that. I don't know how long they wore that, but they wore that for many years, I expect. Because you tell me the leather, amen, don't rot. The leather don't deteriorate. Amen. And the blood that was shed of that lamb that God used in the garden was a typify of a greater, sacrifice, a greater sacrifice. Way down the road, way down there. You're talking about 1,000 years. You're talking about 2,000 years. You're talking about 3,000 years. You're talking about 4,000 years. The lamb didn't come. The lamb didn't come, and God used the prophets to tell them that the lamb was coming. He used the Jews from the seed of Abraham to be the nation that would do all the sacrifices and offerings of goats and turtle doves and all kinds of animals, of clean animals, to sacrifice for the blood of mankind. And they tell me that was all right, but it wasn't good enough. It was all right, but it wasn't powerful enough. And so what God had to do. I tell you what God is doing. This is what the devil hates. This is what the devil hates. And people don't understand this. This is what the devil hates. He hates Christ. Christ had a blood sister. Hot mighty no. Christ had a blood sister. Who blood sister was it? It was God's blood system. What happened? God became man. God became human. God had a heart. In his son Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had lungs. He had all the utensils of the body. Why? Because he was a man. And by him being a man, he had to have a blood system. Because without blood in your body, without any the red fluid that runs through your body, without that, no man could live. If you would cut yourself today and lay on the couch and let your blood drain out of your body. Guess what? Your body will become limp, and your blood would dribble out on the couch, and you will go on to wherever you decided to go. If you decided to go to hell, reject Christ. If you decide to go to heaven, receive Christ. There's people today dying every day without Christ. And if you die without Christ, there's nothing but hell left. And so what happens? Jesus Christ came, and when he came, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Woo! And I think Isaiah wrote across the annals of time in the ninth chapter, the sixth verse of Isaiah. He said, a child is born, a son is given, and you shall call his name Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Almighty God, the great I Am, and he shall be born of a virgin of Mary. And they laid him in they laid him in the trough. And when they laid him in the trough in the manger, the wise men came and looked at him and said, man, I ain't never seen nothing like it. You mean to tell me this child is laying in this manger is God Almighty?
Yeah.
Ooh, how can God Almighty be in this little trough and the world is still running? Don't you know God himself ran the world while he was in the manger? Oh, y'all don't understand me. We're dealing with a God of gods and a Lord of lords, and there's nothing too impossible. You need to tell me this 12-year-old boy that was in the temple, huh? He's telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees all about the law of the judicial law and the royal law and the laws of the commandment. You mean to tell me he's telling me all about this, and he ain't even been to school yet? If he's going to school, he's 12 years old, and how he know all this? Whose son is this? Whose son is this? Who? Hey, they say it's Mary and Joseph's son. Well, I ain't never heard nobody been born like this at 12 years old telling me about the Judaism, telling me about the law, telling me about Moses, telling me about the prophets is dead and gone, and he telling me when he was grown, he said, before Abraham was I, what you talking about? This is God Almighty. And guess what? This blood system that Christ has belongs to God.
Amen.
God's blood is pure. God's blood is righteous. God's blood is holy. God's blood
right.
is righteous all the way through. You can't defile the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that Satan trembles at. He trembles at the name of Jesus. Why? Because of his blood. Because his blood is all powerful. Somebody said it's more powerful than a locomotive. It's more powerful than an A-bomb. It's more powerful than a B and a C-bomb. Why? Because there's a bomb that comes from Gilead. There's a bomb that got more power in one little drop of blood to save a million souls. And let me tell you, my soul this morning, this afternoon, is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this Christ
right.
that I'm talking about is coming back to this earth. And when he comes back, he's coming back in power. He's coming back in glory. And he's coming back in omnipotent power that the world is going to witness. Good God Almighty. And he's coming back real soon. How long, Brother Bizarre, do you think before the Lord comes? Well, according to the scriptures. I ain't saying what I say. I'm according to the scriptures. And I want to put this down on you. I'm going to give it to the brother. I got about 5 minutes. I think I can do it. Amen. The last great world prophecy, according to Ezekiel. Oh, my God. Ezekiel, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You talking about Ezekiel that was a bone specialist? You talking about the Ezekiel that says, can these dry bones live? When Ezekiel made this prophecy in the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel, he said that in the last days, in the latter years, in way down the road, by the year 2020, I know the date ain't in the Bible, but they tell me you don't have to be in the Bible. He said in the end time, and we are living definitely in the end time, and at the end time, there's a northern king coming down from the north, and the north of the north of Jerusalem is Moscow. Moscow, what the capital of Russia is Moscow. And Moscow, he said in the 38th and 39th chapter, he said, oh, ye son of man, go down there and tell Gog and Magog, I'm going to put hooks in their jaws and draw them back into the Siberian desert. And now we're living in 2022, and Israel is down there southern of Russia, and Russia is now making a plan to make an attack upon the Jewish nation, because the Jewish nation is the only nation that God used. Good God Almighty, he used the Jewish nation to bring the Messiah into the world. He used the Jewish nation to write the Holy Scripture. He used the Jewish nation to be the only nation that knows the true and living God. But thank God Almighty, he just don't love the Jew. He loved the Gentiles too. And he grafted the Gentiles into And now the church is composed of mostly Gentiles, and the church needs to do is stand up for Jesus and tell God Almighty, thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ, because he was a Jew, and by him being a Jew, he's going to take care of his own people. And now the Jews are back in the land, just like Ezekiel said they would be, and since they're back in the land of would be, he said, then when you see the Jews coming back into the land, look up for your redemption draw it nigh, because the Messiah is getting ready to come. And when he comes, he's going to come the time of the great war, and the great war is coming on the scene. The newsman is going to be broadcasting. Come on. The newsman is going to be broadcasting from now on until Christ returns about this Russia invasion
that's getting ready
that's right.
to come up on Israel. Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal has two chapters. Each one has about 23 verses, and it tells you exactly what's going to happen, good God Almighty, when Russia gets in place. Oh, she's getting in place now. Oh, yes, yeah, she's having a little trouble with Ukraine. Amen. Ukraine is withstanding, which is only reasonable. Amen. But they can't stand too long because what God is going to let Putin do, amen. Putin is going to get five other nations. He's going to gather them up. And when he gathers them up, he's going to... Ethiopia, it's going to be Libya, it's going to be Gomer, which is Germany, it's going to be Togarma, these nations, Iran and Iraq is going to gather these nations together, and Putin is going to say, now, at the fullness of time, it's time for us to go down and make an attack. And the attack will mostly be in the month of September because it's going to take at least 5 to 6 months for him to get down there and break the ban so he can, rake the holy mountains of what? Israel. And guess what? As I turn it back over to the brother, guess what? Israel is going to find out that God still, God's chosen people, God is going to protect Israel from Russia. Russia is going to come down on the holy mountain. When he come down on the holy mountain, he's going to have a horde of armies following him.
Yes, sir.
Get up on that holy mountain. God said, when they get up on that holy mountain, guess what? I'm going to stomp my feet. I'm going to shake my holiness. I'm going to speak my voice. And the wrath of God is going to come up on the army that they tell me they will be slain right on the top of the mountain of Israel. And if you read your Bible real closely, it says it's going to take 7 years for them to burn their weapons. It's going to take 7 years.
Wow.
They're going to burn. It's going to take 7 months for them to bury the dead. Now, as I close, which I'll be back after the brother gets through with his clinic, amen, what was going to happen? The 7 years of burning will happen during the 7 years of tribulation. The tribulation cannot occur until, good God Almighty, listen to what I'm saying. It will not occur until the rapture of the church. The
Come
church
on,
will not be here when Russia attacks Israel. God is going to remove the body of the living church, the blood-washed church, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That is soon to happen. And when it happens, it's going to happen during the appointed times of the Lord's feast days. Appointed times. I'm closing now. The last three feast days to be fulfilled, because the first four has already been fulfilled, and the first four that has been fulfilled is the Feast of Passover, which is the crucifixion, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is the new walk, and the Feast of First Fruits, which is the resurrection, and the Feast of Pentecost, which is the birth of the church. And we got a 2,000-year gap between the time of the rapture and the time of the rapture will occur on the last three feasts, which is the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Yom Kippur and the Feast of Tabernacle, which represent the millennium reign. The Feast of Yom Kippur represent what? It represents the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Feast of Trumpets represent the rapture of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ raptures the church, good God Almighty, guess what? God said, I'm not going to leave the world bare. I'm going to send what? I'm going to send me some witnesses. And the last witnesses on the earth will be the Jewish people.
That's right.
And I'm going to close with the last two witnesses. And brother, you can have it. It says that in the seventh chapter of Revelation, the 144,000. Get this now. 144,000 will be preaching the gospel during the first part of the tribulation period, and they will preach it so dynamite, they ain't going to have time for collection of offices. They ain't have time for collecting money. Ain't nobody going to have no time to be getting on TV talking about send me some money, and I need your money in order for God to bless you. It ain't gonna be none of that. They're gonna preach, say Jesus and Him crucified, and He's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom for 3.5 years, and in the second 3.5 years, God is gonna bring back 2 prophets in the last 3.5 years, which is Bill, Moses, and Elijah. Elijah will preach, and Moses will preach the last message, so powerful that the world will stop their ears and say, we are tired of this mess. We are tired of this gospel. We're tired of being reproved. We're tired of being corrected. We want to do what we want to do. Take that stuff and shove it. Lord, get rid. I don't want it. And they killed these 2 prophets. And when they killed these 2 prophets, they're going to lay in the streets of Jerusalem. And the whole world, you hear what I'm talking about? I said the whole world is going to see prophets laying in the streets for 3.5 days. And they're going to do this by the modern technology that we have today. And that is Instagram. You talking about Facebook? Facebook going to be full of Bible prophecy. Instagram.
That's right.
Going to be full of Twitter. TikTok is going to be taken away. Why? Because men are going to see the hand of God correcting and telling men and women to repent, or otherwise you're going to perish with Satan and all his wicked angels. And Jesus Christ, at the end of the 7-year tribulation, is going to bust the sky wide open, and he's going to come back on a white horse. And when he come back on a white horse, the church is going to be with him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Go, brother, go for it.
Amen. All glory be to God. Amen. Strong message, brother. Amen. I can't wait. Amen. This is a blessed time to be a child of the Most High God, to be a saint of God.
Sir.
Amen.
Yes,
we are about to witness. Amen. I tell people, ain't no need for us to be afraid. Afraid of what? Not us. Not the church. And this is why he said in his scripture, he has not given us the what? Spirit of fear. The reason that God speaks that in confidence is because why? He is able to keep us. That's what the scripture said. He's able to protect us through what? Through how? His Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Antichrist, the trumpets won't blow, will not come on the scene. Amen. Until the church has left this planet. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. St. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 36. You have everlasting life. All you simply have to do is sincerely pray to God and to give your soul to God. Amen. We've already established that it's not by works that you'll say, because the scripture says, all of our righteousness are what? As
filthy
rags. Amen.
Rags.
That's what the scripture says. Amen. You are filthy rags. You don't have nothing to hang on to. Amen. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it.
No.
You have to give it to Christ. You have to give your life to God. Amen. Surrender. Say, Lord, look, I am a sinner. Amen. I'm worthy. Amen, of your judgment. Amen, but I thank you for your Son, Christ. He has died for my sin. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. Amen, I believe that he died on the cross. Amen, if you believe that, that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that thou shalt be saved. Amen. We want nothing more than for everyone listening to take advantage of this opportunity. Amen, if you think that the people of this world that are rejecting Christ, amen, that they're going to go unpunished? No. The sins of this world will be punished. There are so many people getting away with murder, kidnapping children, doing unheard of things to children, to women, and also to men. Behind the scenes, there's so much evil stuff that's going on behind the scenes, and it's going to have a day of reckoning. You can best believe that. Amen. I know we talked about it, amen, a little bit last week. Amen. So I'm going to share a little bit of this with you. I think earlier this week we were talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet. I was talking about how they're going to be cast directly into the lake of fire, that they have been so evil, amen, that God's not going to
save
them. God ain't going to even have them at the great white throne judgment. God said, you know what? Y'all just go on down there with Satan. Go on down there with Lucifer.
You're going to
cast out. Amen. He's going to go on and toss y'all in the lake of fire. You ain't going to need you coming to the great white throne judgment. Amen. So we talked about what we need to be doing, amen, in this day and age. We've covered that. So the judgments are about to start. There are seven trumpets. Seven. Amen. So before
amen.
The seven trumpets, the trumpet must sound for the church to be caught up and gathered together and to be taken out of this world, amen, before the devil can do his thing, amen, before the Holy Spirit to allow Satan to do what he is going to do. Now, understand this. Where are we? We are in the church age. In the church age is going to have, the church age is now, and the rapture, we believe, the gathering together of the saints is soon to happen. Amen. And after that comes what? A 7-year tribulation.
Yes, sir.
As Daniel described and as Christ described, as nothing ever like it since the beginning of history, since the beginning of Adam and Eve, nor to our present time, nor after that 7-year period, shall there be anything like it. In fact, Christ said that those days must be shortened, at least any would be said. In other words, it was like it's going to be so horrific on this planet that it's going to be almost no one's going to be saved at some point. Amen. But we know that the 144,000 are going to be preaching. We know the two witnesses are going to be preaching. And because of them, that's what's going to make it possible for man to be saved. But the days have to be cut short because the world's going to be rampant in so much evil. The last 3.5 years, Satan himself is going to be on this planet to rule. And that's what's going to make it seem like it's going to be impossible. Because why? He doesn't want no one to be saved. He don't want the word of God to go forth. He don't want the word of life to go forth to save man's soul. He's going to, like the brother say, he's going to be mad as hell. And he's mad as hell right now. Amen. He is. Amen. A lot of people say, oh, well, why you say, well, first of all, the word hell is in the Bible. Amen. So let's get that straight. Amen. But it is the truth. We are preaching the truth. The injustices on this planet, the violence cannot go on forever. God is not going to permit that. But you got people who actually believe that this world is going to continue to go on just like it is. The Bible says that man's going to believe that. Man's going to be partying and having fun just like it was in the days of Noah. They ain't going to be studying God. They're going to be blaspheming God and cursing God. And man, oh man, that's when God's going to crack open. And Christ is going to return to take his vengeance out on his enemies. Amen. So we talked about those seven divine judgments at the end times. We talked about the judgment on Lucifer, Satan himself, the judgment on the Antichrist, the judgment on the false prophet, the judgment on living Jews, amen, and the judgment on living Gentiles, judgment on all the dead, amen, and judgment of the wicked angels. Notice that there are three parties that are not going to be at the great white throne judgment. Who are they? Amen. Number one,
amen.
Lucifer. Amen. In other words, what he has done is inexcusable. He does not get the opportunity to come to the great white throne. Amen. He doesn't get a chance to plead or anything with God. God, he's called. All of this, think about what Satan has done since he turned his back and rebelled against God. He calls angels. He drew a third of the stars and the
come
angels
on,
from heaven. Come on. As the brother said, that is a lot of angels. We can't imagine the number of angels in heaven. So that's the first thing he did. He deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. Amen.
Yeah.
And he's caused all this violence, all this wickedness, injustice, corruption on the planet. Oh, yeah, he's going to pay for what he did. Amen. He is not going to get to go before Christ. God's basically like, I don't even want to see you. Just cast him in the lake of fire. Amen. I don't want to see for what you've done. And I think about it often, brother. I think about people, how people die, all the people, the babies, the animals. All of this is because of what Lucifer did, because he wanted to be God.
Yeah.
And all he had to do is just be humble and just live and just be subject to the Creator, and he could have continued to live for all eternity. But no, you got people who are just not content with what they have. It reminds me, amen, it reminds me of people who have money and they're just so unhappy and they still want more money. They become
more
greedy
money.
And prideful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And they
Come
just
on.
Want more. And they don't care. They'll do whatever it takes to get. You think a lot of the people in this world, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about riches. Riches, the Bible says the love of money is the root.
Come on.
Of all evil.
Yeah.
Man, people have murdered nations. People have kidnapped nations and enslaved people across the planet. People have robbed and killed in the silence and the dark. Because why? They want to accumulate wealth. They want to be rich. They want to be wealthy. They want to have certain things. And you think those people are going to go unpunished for their sins? Ever since Adam and Eve, every soul is going to be called up from the graves. Man, my oh my. They're going to be called up from the graves at the very end of time, at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign of our Lord and Savior Christ.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Tell it.
And those folks that have not accepted Christ, those people who have not believed in God, have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, amen. So we already know what the Bible said. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. They're going to be
lake
raised up from the dead to be judged. That's going to be a lot of people. You're talking about
yes,
a period of 6,000 years. We can't imagine the soul. I think about a lot of people that I've known in the past. Maybe I went to school with them. Maybe I had an encounter with them in life. Amen. And, you know, to me, they just didn't seem like, now, I'm not judging, but, I mean, if you never set foot in the church, you always talk about, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't want to hear that stuff. And you die and leave this world, this existence that's here on this planet. Ain't
yeah.
no need in family members and friends and loved ones trying to put you in heaven. It does not work that way. The Bible said that Christ said the only way to the Father is by me. In other words, the only way you can get to heaven, the only way you get saved is come through our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you reject Christ, see, that's what St. John, the third chapter, verse 36, was simply saying. If you reject Christ, death abides on you. What does that mean? Because you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you die and leave this world in sin, you will die the second death, which is the spiritual death, and you will be cast into the lake of fire. There is no escaping this judgment. The only way that you can escape, as we discussed earlier, is Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, to simply confess with your mouth and to believe with your heart. Amen. We have so many people to leave this world before in the past, and it just, amen, it's a hurtful thing to know people. But once they're gone, they're gone. Amen. So we want to teach as many people, train up the child as the way that they should go. So when they get old, the Bible says, the scripture says, that they shall not depart. Amen. I'm a living witness of that. Amen. Amen. So we thank God. Amen. We praise him. Amen. Praise the Most High, brother. Amen. I know that's right. Amen. So kind of want to take a look at some things before I go farther. I know I kind of talked about this last week, but I want to kind of take a look at it some today before I turn back over to the brother. Let's go over to Let's start at St. John. Let's go to St. John. I'm going to show you some things. Amen.
All right.
St. John. Amen. I don't know if I read this before, but I don't believe I did. But let's go to St. John, the fifth chapter. And we're going to look at verses 22 and 23. Again, St. John, the fifth chapter. Verses 22 and 23. Let's see what it says. Watch what it says. Amen. It says, "For the Father judgeth no man." Why does Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, why does he not judge man? Because man can say, "God, Yahweh, Father in heaven, you are the Almighty Alpha and Omega. You are the God of the heaven, the master and creator of the universe. You've existed from eternity to eternity. And because you are perfect and you know no sin," amen, "but you was not put in a body like ours to be tempted of sin, to be tempted of women, to be tempted of substance like alcohol, drugs," amen, "money. You didn't have to go through this temptation. So it's easy to sit in heaven to not be tempted," amen, "and to be perfect," amen. "So how can you judge me and condemn me to everlasting fire for all eternity when you have not experienced the stress, the things that I went through in this life, the thing that Satan did, you know, his divisiveness, the thing that he created? You didn't have to go through these things, so why are you going to punish me for all eternity?" This is why Christ said, "For the Father," it said, "For the Father judgeth no man," because he's not man. Amen. He's a spiritual perfect being. So, but watch what Christ said. "But has committed all judgment unto the Son." Amen. Now, why Christ going to judge us? Because Christ came from heaven. But he also lived what? In a fleshly body.
He was tempted.
Amen. See, let me share something with you. Satan, he threw everything he could imagine and all his knowledge and wisdom that God gave to him and all that he learned. He threw everything in Christ that he tried to stop Christ from coming. He tried to tempt Christ. Oh, man, he did everything. He tried to kill Christ when he was a baby. He wanted to stop Christ from going to that cross. He said, "Man, if I can beat him to the cross, if I can stop him from shedding his blood for man's sin, from making that ultimate sacrifice, all will be lost. Amen. I will continue to rule in sin for all eternity. Man will continue to die. But I won't die. Mankind will go on this planet until he either destroys itself or until, you know, just whatever, until he possibly ceases to exist." But Satan wouldn't want that because he wouldn't have no one to serve him. Amen? And there ain't no telling what Satan and the fallen angels have done. They probably put some type of beings on multiple planets across the galaxy. We don't know what all they've done. These are some things that come to my mind. Amen? But let me finish this verse. Amen? He said, "But the Father had committed all judgment unto the Son." The reason why he's committed all, now he didn't say some judgment. He didn't say a few of them. He didn't say half of them. He said all judgment was committed to the Son, Christ. In other words, those that have rejected Christ, not the saints. Remember, the saints are not going to be judged the way you think they're going to be judged. The saints are going to be judged according to their works. I mean, that we are actually going to be rewarded. So our judgment is a good thing. Those who have rejected Christ, their judgment is going to be man, oh, man.
No,
condemnation. Amen. He's going to condemn them for their works,
sir,
and not being covered in the blood. Now, the reason that he committed Christ to judges is because Christ was tempted with sexual sin. He was tempted to lie, to cheat, to steal, to do and everything that we as mankind on this earth has done and do. Amen? So this is why he said, "I've committed the judgment to Christ." But guess what? Christ did not fail. You say, well, how do you know he ain't failed? Let me see if I can remember this scripture. Go over, see if I can find this scripture. I remember I preached a sermon on this many, many, many years ago. Amen. Oh, there it is. Oh, I have found it. It's in Romans, the 8th chapter. Amen. Amen. Romans, the 8th chapter. And I'm just going to read the first three verses. I got a little time, but I'm going to try to wrap this up kind of quick so I can give it back over to you. Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3. Now, it's actually is the context of this is really from 1 through 17 is the entire context, but I actually preached the scripture that covered verses 1 through 7, or preached the sermon, I mean. Amen. But it's actually 1 through 17. I taught a lesson on that. But verses 1, 2, and 3 would give you an idea. I'll let you study on your own, but to understand how Christ did not fail. Amen. Now watch what it says.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 1 says, there is therefore, now, he didn't say later, he didn't say after you die. So you receive salvation right now in this life. Amen. Not later on when you die or later on in life. You right now in the immediate. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What is Paul saying? Once you become saved, the Holy Spirit hits you faster than you can think, faster than you can blink, faster than the neurons can fire from your brain down to your toes. Amen. That's how fast the Holy Spirit becomes one once you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It's so fast that death itself can't stop salvation. Amen. But Paul said that once you become saved, there is now no condemnation. Because you, my brothers and sisters, are now covered in the blood of Christ. Amen. Watch what it says.
Come on.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As soon as you become saved, you don't even know it yet. Before you can even realize, you may not have spiritually been taught or even spiritually know, but your flesh, according to the Spirit, no longer desires the world as it did a split second before. Amen? That's how powerful God is. Your change is immediately, whether you know it or not. You don't even know you've been changed, but you've been changed. Because you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Now watch what verse 2 says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Yahshua has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Come
man,
on.
That's deep. What is the law of the Spirit? The law of the Spirit is love. The law of the Spirit is God sending his son, amen, to the earth to be the ultimate sacrifice, which God ordained from the very beginning in the garden. Because what did he tell Satan? Let's go over to Genesis. Let me show you. Amen. Go over to Genesis. I believe it's the third chapter, verse
16.
Yes. Yeah, verse 15. Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15, says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It was ordained in the beginning that God had an answer to man's fall. He knew that he was going to send his son to the earth. Amen. This is the law of the Spirit to redeem man. Because only one, amen, that can come from the Spirit, come from God, come from heaven, can redeem man. That's why John wept over Revelation, the 5th chapter. He wept so much. The angel said, why are you crying? He said, because there was no one found worthy. But the angel said, but wait a minute. There is amen. There is
amen.
One, the Lamb that
the
was
Lamb.
Slain for the sins of the world. He has been found worthy to redeem man. And we are so grateful for the Lamb, amen, his ultimate sacrifice. This is what Paul is talking about over in Romans the 8th chapter, verse 2. Now watch what he said. He said, in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now wait a minute. What's the law of sin and death? Well, do you remember Moses? Remember when he went up into the mount and he came down with these tablets and they was engraved with the law? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not have no other God before thee. Yeah. Thou shalt not. Amen. That was law of sin and death. That was the law. God had to let man know so man could know. So man could no longer have any excuses to say, well, I know I was doing wrong. God said, no, no. Here's the law, Israel. The law simply says that if you sin, you are worthy of death. Amen. But now watch this. Watch this. Now here's the kicker right here. Here's the key. Verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Boy,
yes.
I read that doctor many years ago. I was like, what? So in a nutshell, what this is saying is that sin followed Christ from the day he was born and said, I'm going to get him, Satan. We're going to get him. I got him. He in the flesh, we're going to get him. He got the sin. We've been doing this thing. Doctor, we've been doing this thing for about 4,000 years. We're going to Moses fell. Adam fell. Abraham fell. Enoch fell. David fell. We gonna get Christ. That's what sin was saying. We gonna get him. Everybody else, and Jonah, you name all the prophets, they have all failed. What's gonna be so different about Christ, Yahshua?
Come on.
He's in the flesh. We got to causing the sin. Amen. Amen. But because, and I'm gonna hurry up and turn over to the book, but because that sin could not make, he followed Christ on his heel. Just like your shadow follow you in the sunlight. He could not, all the way to the grave, from the cradle to the grave, sin could not get Christ to sin.
Come on.
And because of that, they fell. It was it. It was over. They said, boys, it's over with. We're going. It's official. We're going to the lake of fire. They couldn't get Christ to sin. Amen. They could not get Christ to sin. Because what? See, the flesh was weak because of the law. If the Bible said don't steal, do man steal? Do man lie? Do they cheat? We still sin today. I sin. Amen. Every person as a saint of God still sin. That's why the scripture says, in all your righteousness, ye are as what?
Filthy rags.
Because you want to know why? We fall short. Amen. We are weak through the flesh. Amen. For what
Amen.
The law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son the likeness, because the law cannot what? Save you. The law was never given to man to save you. This is why we tell people all the time that it's not by works that you're saved, but by the blood of Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, by the spirit of life in Christ that you are saved. You're not saved by what you do. And man, I pity anyone that don't grasp that. I pray that you study and ask the Holy Spirit and God for understanding. Because, man, if you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you. You probably
should
be preaching if you can't comprehend that. You cannot live. The law has so many. See, like I tell people, it wasn't just the laws. The law had ordinances, things that they shouldn't do that referred back to the law or just would cause you to sin because you was not in order with God and you was disobedient to God's ordinances and his laws. And because of that, man was worthy of death.
Come on, preacher.
Man, if you was a God, was to recount your sins throughout the day, God said, oh, you don't think you sin? Let's pull up the screen. And God's going to show you that you sin this day, that day. You sin every day of your life. That's why the Bible says to pray without ceasing. We have to ask God for forgiveness. Matthew, the 6th chapter, tells man how to pray and how to ask for forgiveness. We are sinful, as Paul said in Romans, the 7th chapter. What did Paul say in Romans, the 7th chapter?
Come on.
Verse 4.
Come on.
For we know that the law is what? Spiritual. But I am what? Carnal. Soul under sin. Amen. It wasn't
Amen,
so much
bro.
That the law wasn't spiritual. The law was spiritual, but it was never intended to save your soul. Only the spirit life in Christ, and that's why his blood had to be shed. He had to be the ultimate sacrifice. Only through the spirit of Christ are we saved. Only through
Come
the
on.
Spirit of Christ, the ultimate sacrifice.
Come on.
Could the lamb, amen, through the spirit of God, he went to the cross and he didn't sin to redeem man's soul back to God. Amen. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead. I had to.
You ain't did no damage. Hey, you got the word out. You got the true word out. That's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No,
amen.
I don't think you take all the time you want to because hey, we ain't through yet. Hey, we ain't through yet.
That's right.
What you brought forth is the word of God. I can't stop you. You get heated up. It's what Christ done. And we ain't did nothing but sit there and wonder how can we get saved. And it's simple, ABC, repent and believe, receive and accept and come on into the fold. Why? Because hell is too hot. You can't handle hell. Anybody that goes to hell, amen, they ain't going to be able to handle it. And you ain't going to have no friends in hell. Amen. If you have any friends, if they make it to heaven, they'll be in heaven themselves. But let me tell you, that sacrifice of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the ultimate way, or only a way, the man can get to heaven. And I tell you one thing, we're going to close shortly. Amen. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah is one of the most powerful chapters in the whole Bible. And I know the Bible is filled with power. But the 53rd chapter of Isaiah is loaded with the blood of Jesus Christ. Open up. Listen what Isaiah wrote 700 years before it even happened. He said, who has believed our report? And to whom is the Lord of arms, arms of the Lord revealed? He shall go up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Look how bad we were. We some terrible people. Amen. The Jews was awesome when it comes to believing in Christ. Look what we've done to him. I ain't putting this on the Jews, though. I'm putting it on the whole world. Look what the world's done to him. Surely he has bore our grief, carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, spitting of God, and afflicted. Listen, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Good God Almighty. Woo! Are we like sheep? Have gone astray. Ain't nobody got no right to act like they so sanctified. Ooh, and so up in the nose in the air
Come
that they
on,
better
doctor.
Than somebody else. We got a lot of stuck-up church folks. Ooh, that think because they got a new car, because they got this and they got a little money in their pocket, they just stuck up. They can't be friendly because they got a little money. And most people who got a whole lot of money, hey, man, they're stingy. Ooh, my God, I ain't seen so many stingy people in my life. They crave money. They love money. And here, Jesus Christ, look what he did. He said, our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. And the
That's
Lord
right.
has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All that old whoremongering, sex, pornography, and all that lying and cheating and backbiting and hypocriting and slothfulness and tail barriers and men lovers of men more than lovers of God, men loving men and women loving women. God did all that to come down here in the flesh so he could pay the penalty for sin. He paid it. He paid for mine. He paid for yours. He paid for the whole round world. And if the whole round world was to be saved today, people would reject it. If God said, I want to save everybody, there would be a large crowd that says, I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't believe he did all that. But yet still, listen what he did. He said he was oppressed and was afflicted. Yet he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before the shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there because if I read any more, I'll end up preaching on it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, the 53rd chapter is the centerfold of salvation. Amen. Anything else other than Jesus Christ is not going to work. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Ain't no use of bringing that trash before the throne of God and think God is going to accept all these world religions, all these little occult religions, all these religions that deny. This is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you some religions that will deny the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Deny it. And the first one that will deny is the Jewish nation. But God is going to restore the Jewish nation and break the scale from their eyes at the end of the tribulation period. The eyes of the Jews are going to what? They're going to open up and the scales are going to fall from their eyes because in the book of Zechariah, he says he shall stand up on the Mount of Olives at the second coming of Jesus Christ with the church. He's going to stand up on the Mount of Olives, good God Almighty. I can't help myself up in here this afternoon because when he stands up on the top of the Mount of Olives, the same mountain that he left for in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he's going to put up his hand towards heaven and Israel, the nations of Israel, is going to be in the land of Israel and they're going to see the nail prints in his hand. They're going to see the nail prints on his side. They're going to see the nail prints in his feet. They're going to see the crown of thorn marks that they stuck in his head. They're going to see the whips on his back that he still have them. He still got the marks. Good God Almighty. Oh, he got the marks on his body, on his glorified body that we put on him. We nailed him to the cross. We crucified him. We dogged him like a dead dog. We didn't have no regard, but yet still he loved us so much that he came back from the dead and was resurrected from the dead with all power in heaven and in earth. And if woman, any man, any political leader, any king or queen reject this sacrifice and die without Jesus Christ paying the penalty for their sins, they're going to bust hell wide open. And I'll tell it to my goal. And if you don't believe me, I'll come from the dead and tell you some more. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the only way that anybody can be saved. I'm going to name some religions and some occults that don't believe in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and they don't believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because Matthew, Mark, and John verified that he died. He died. Yeah, he died. He died on Calvary. Right. Yeah. 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Went down into hell and cleaned it out. What you talking about? He swept that out and told old Lucifer. He was shaking like a bowl of jello. Oh, my God. And God said, I'm through with you now. I got the victory. I'm going on top side. I'm going to let the people know I'm the Alpha and Omega. And he came out on the third day morning, and they still didn't believe. Alvin Thomas said, I won't believe until I see the nail prints in his hand. And that Jesus said, I got to make it a daily appointment with old Alvin Thomas. And he came into the room and walked through the door. He said, Thomas, come over here. Thomas came over there and looked at him. And he said, now look at my hands. Huh? Yeah. Look at my feet. Yeah.
Right.
Look at my pitted side. Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at my whips on my back. 39 stripes. Woo. He whooped me and made me look like a hamburger patty. They stripped me of my flesh from my bones, and I didn't say a mumbling word. I was led to the slaughter like a dumb now. I didn't even open my mouth. I didn't say nothing. Only thing I said, you said that I am the Son of Man. Go ahead and take me to the cross. And just like the brother said, the devil said, I'm going to get this sucker. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. I got Moses. I got Isaiah. I got Jeremiah. I got all those prophets. I got all those patriarchs. Now I'm going to get this turkey. Uh-huh. Yeah. But he messed with the wrong turkey that time. He messed with the wrong man. He messed with the I am or the I am. He messed with the Alpha and Omega. And old Solomon said he's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's brighter than the morning star. And Bazaar said he's a shelter in a time of trouble. And he's my bread when I'm hungry. And he's my doctor without a bag. Good God Almighty. Y'all got to help me up in here now, because I'm going to name these religions that deny the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. They're the Jehovah Witness. They don't believe in the blood. Humanism. They don't believe in the blood. They got the occults and the Satan worship. We got fallen angels. We got Nephilims and we got demons. We got UFOs and flying demons in the air today. A lot of people say, well, what are those demons? They're flying saucers or demons, and they're getting ready to come to this earth. And a lot of people are walking around talking about, hey, that's a strange phenomenon. No, it ain't. It's not that, because there's going to be an invasion. The devil's going to invade the earth. But thank God. Thank God. I got a battle warrior. I got one whose eyes is flame of fire, and his hair is white. His white as wool, and he has a golden girdle wrapped around him, and his feet was like fine brass, as if it burned in the furnace. I got my leader. I got my redeemer. I got my man that died on Calvary's cross. Listen to what he said. Witchcraft don't believe in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Witchcraft has nothing to do with the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We got atheism that don't believe in nothing, but they're going to believe in something one day. It's going to be too late. We got Buddhism, don't believe in the blood. We don't have nothing but Toyism. It don't believe in the blood. We got Islam. We got black Muslims that deny the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We got secularism that don't believe in the blood. And we got Judaism. Good God Almighty. Now, the Judaism, and they believe in the blood, but they got the wrong blood. They believe in the blood of the Old Testament sacrifices. Right. They believe in the turtle dove and all these clean animals that God instructed into the Jewish people. And the Jewish people got hooked on it. And when they got hooked on it, it was hard for them to break loose. But the Lord said, if I come in my name, you won't receive me. But if I come in my Father's name, you will receive me. You come in his own name, you won't receive me. They don't believe in the blood. And we got Judaism, and Judaism said that's the only way you can get to heaven. But you can't get to heaven by animal blood. You can't get to heaven by sheep blood. You can't get to heaven by bullock blood. You can't get to heaven by one blood. And that blood is the highest blood, and the highest order is the blood of Jesus Christ, which is God's Son that can save your soul. We got paganism, no blood. We got agnosticism, no blood. We got spiritualism, no blood. We got Baya. No blood. We got schizism, no blood. We got Scientology, no blood. We got deist, no blood. We got voodoo, no blood. We got Satanist, no blood. We got circularism, no blood. We got Mormonism, no blood. And the World Council of Churches right now, the Roman Catholic Church, we got other churches joining in with the World Council of Churches. We got called the World Church. They don't believe in the blood. Born by what they hear, what they see, because when Antichrist comes, he's going to come in his own name. And one thing about it, the Jews are going to believe that he is Jesus Christ, and he's not Jesus Christ, because number one, he don't have he don't have no credentials, and his credentials have to be like Jesus. And to tell me Jesus has credentials, he had scars on his hands, he had scars on his feet, he had whips on his back, and he came back from the grave on his own power. But the Antichrist, when he come, he ain't gonna have no marks. He ain't gonna have no marks at all. He ain't gonna have no marks on his head, no neck on his head. He ain't going to have no marks on his feet, because he's going to have shoes on. Woo! And he ain't gonna take his clothes off and show the world the marks that he got on the cross, because he's never been on the cross. The Antichrist is a cross anti-cross. He's anti-God. He's against God. He tried to defy the cross. And the world will say, yes, this is what we want. We don't want We don't want to give our hearts to Christ. We just want to worship and bow down at the Antichrist. We want to keep on whoremongering. We want to keep on gambling.
That's right. We want
to keep on lying, cheating, backbiting. We want to keep on race hatred. We want to keep on doing what we want to do. And we're going to go to this church. And if we sin, we're going to the Pope. We're going to the priest. But let me tell you, the priest is going to hell with because he ain't got no kind of salvation. He ain't got no kind of blood. He ain't got no kind of way to get you to heaven because he's born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Christ died in the flesh. And that's why the brother said in the scriptures, amen, God could not come down here in the spirit and suffer on the cross. You couldn't nail him on the cross. Why? Because you can't nail no spirit on the cross. And the spirit, God's spirit, couldn't feel what pain was and what sin was. God knew,
right. Knew
what a prostitute went through, never knew what a drunkard went through, never knew, oh, my God. He never knew what Bizarre went through, fornication, adultery. He never knew what Bizarre or Brother Tim went through until he became a man. When he became a man, he took up on the sin of man without sin, and he was nailed to the cross. Guess what?
That's right.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to ask the brother, amen. I got time enough to do it. I'm going to ask the brother, amen, to open the altar up to let you know, amen, what we are teaching from the word of God. We ain't teaching not off the wall. We didn't find it on side of the street. We didn't find it in the garbage dump. We didn't find it on somebody's intellectual viewpoint. We find it from the word of God. And the word of God says every man has to be born again. And when you are born again, you are willing enough to confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Listen to this. Amen. I never heard Louis Farrakhan confessed that Jesus Christ died on the cross and got up from the grave. I never heard Farrakhan confess that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, and he was nailed to the cross and on the third day come up from the grave. I never heard all these secret societies. Whew, good God Almighty. I ain't never heard the secret societies like the Illuminati's and the, let me get my little black book here because I got all of them names down here. I ain't never heard the New Age movement confess Christ. I never heard United Nations confess Christ. I never heard the Club of Rome confess Christ. I never heard the Knight Templars confess Christ. I never heard the Skull confess Christ. I never hear them stand up and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, and that he died and rose again, because they're chicken. They're chicken. There was a chicken when it comes to confessing Jesus Christ, because he can confess it, but he ain't going to confess it in you. He don't want you to confess it. And already on read 10 and 9 of Romans, the only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth. You confess everything. You talk big stuff with your big mouth, but when it comes to Christ, you're scared. You're hiding under the bed somewhere. You're going around talking about, ain't time for me to get saved yet. I get saved when I feel like I need to get saved. Well, you keep on fooling around. You keep on jiving around. And that goes for preachers. That goes for deacons. That goes for church members. That goes for choir members. That goes for the doorkeeper. That goes for the usher. That goes for every man, woman, and child. You don't confess him and believe on him and accept him, hell will be your home. I never hear Beyonce confess Christ. I ain't never hear Pope Francis confess Christ. I ain't never heard the gay hip-hop music confess Christ. I never hear Michael Jackson confess Christ. I never hear Cliff O'Dowd confess Jesus Christ. I never hear Kanye West confess Jesus Christ. I never heard Benny Hinn confess Jesus Christ. I never heard Chris Brown confess Jesus Christ. I never heard Jay-Z confess Christ. I never heard Kobe Bryant confess. Ooh, man, I got a whole list. I ain't going to name them all. Amen. I never heard Madonna confess Christ. I never had Oprah Winfrey confess Christ.
Right.
I've heard a lot of celebrities that say their life has been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They never will confess Jesus Christ until they get to a point in their life and hope they die, hope they receive Christ before they die. Because if they die before what? If they die before they get saved, they're going to bust hell wide open.
Right.
God said, I died for the devil. I died for you.
That's right.
I was willing enough to take your sins and nail them to the cross. The only thing you got to do is come. And he said, the second time I come, I'm not coming to die no more. It's over.
Amen.
When the tribulation period comes, I'm going to take my church off of this planet. And I'm going to let the Antichrist, the devil's masterpiece, come and bring his program. And when he bring his program on the planet of the earth, the only ones that will have an opportunity are the ones that hear the 144,000 and the two witnesses to come and receive Christ. And I'm closing. 1 minute. When John saw 144,000 get through preaching, John looked, and one of the elders looked and said, hey, wait a minute. I see a number that no man can number. Where did these come from?
Man.
And who are they? What are they doing here? What are they doing confessing Christ and getting saved? How did they do that? And where did they come from? He said, man, don't you know something? You know where they came from. These are they that came through great trials and tribulation with palms in their hand. These are the tribulation saints. These are the tribulation saints that heard the gospel through the Jewish nation and Moses and Elijah. And when they heard them, they received Christ, and they will have to go through the great tribulation. And he said, I see a number that no man can number, as many as the sins of the saints. God is going to save, and God's going to get what he wants. And when he gets what he wants, you ought to be in that number. So when that trumpet blows, and if you miss the trumpet and stay here, you got to know what to do. That's one thing to do. Don't believe this false Messiah that's coming on the world today, and he's going to tear the world upside down. Brother, open that altar up. Let somebody come on in. I hope they're blessed to understand what we're preaching, because you don't hear it in churches today. You don't hear. Go ahead, brother. Take it over.
Amen, brother. Amen. Just a few minutes, amen. Awesome word, man. Today was I believe every time we're on there, I believe the word is awesome, because it's God's word, not our word. It's God's word. It's always awesome. But, man, this was a blessing today, amen, to me to hear, you know, both of us giving God's word, amen, using our gifts, because we desire nothing more but than for man's soul to be saved. Amen. I know sometimes we preach a strong word, and because we do preach a strong word, amen, some people can't accept it. Amen. Some people are just, you know, because I think the world has made people so sensitive to God's word that they don't want to deal with the reality that death is real. You know, a lot of people don't want to act like death, you know, they don't want to talk about it. But death is real. And when you leave this world, you will go somewhere. You have a spiritual soul that's going to continue to live, because when God created Adam, he created Adam to live for eternity. He didn't create Adam to die. He created Adam to live. That was his intent. So when he created the angels, he created them to what? Live for all eternity, not to die. So God's intent is life, not death. But because of what Lucifer did, amen, he brought about death. And all we want to do, we want you to be saved. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. We did cover that. Amen. But I just want to let you know that God loves you. Amen. Elder Bazaar loves you. I love you. Amen. We believe the radio station loves you as a whole. And we want people to be saved. We don't want you to miss out on this opportunity. This is the greatest time in history, I believe, to be alive, for to be children of God, that is. Now, if you reject God, it's going to be the worst time in history to be alive. Amen. So let me read these scriptures. Amen. I'm gonna get out your way. Let me read. Let me see if I can get some of this in. Amen. St. John, the fifth chapter. You know I got a bunch of these scriptures. St. John, the fifth chapter. Let's see if I can read it real quick. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that means to respond and understand, to believe, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not, I say it again, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'll let y'all read verse 30, 25 on your own. I think the time's going to run out. But read that. St. John, the fifth chapter, verses 24 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that